We've been having very beautiful festivals over these last 2 weeks, beginning from Jivanyatra and then to the Rupa Swami's disappearance day, to the Gurudev explained young Kali Rupa Sahira and Dasa. What would have happened if Sri Rupa Goswami didn't come? The world wouldn't know about the different kinds of bhakti, the false bhakti, the mixed bhakti, the real bhakti, the rasas. He introduced them, he explained them, and he gave them through his teachings and similar succession. Then Srila Gurudev explained what would have happened if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hadn't come. We wouldn't have had that most rare jewel of Anat Odhavana Samsa Bhakti Sriyam. And what would have happened, as Gurudev explained yesterday morning, if Krishna hadn't come? There would be no Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there would be no Rupa Goswami, there would be no Balaram, there would be no Sukadeva Goswami, who Radha and Krishna ordered to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. There would be no existence. And similarly, if our Srila Prabhupada hadn't come, where would we be? We were all hippies and drunkards and atheists, and he brought to us the sublime knowledge of all the Vedic literature. Not only did he turn those hippies into happies, but he turned those hippies into assistants in his producing his 30 volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam, his 17 volumes of Chaitanya Charitamrita, his Bhagavad Gita, Isopanishad, Nectar of Instruction, which is his translation of Srila Rupa Goswami's Upadeshamrita, and so many other very beautiful transcendental literatures. Not only did he make those hippies happy, but he took those hippies and taught them, even in their hippie days, how to carve Lord Jagannath. He even took a sheep, my god sister Malati, who had stolen a little Jagannath deity from a hippie store in Haight Ashbury in San Francisco. And when she showed Prabhupada this small deity, he said, are there any more? And she said, yes, there's a whole barrel full. And he said, no, I need different ones. She said, yes, there are 2 different ones. He said, get them. So she got them in her own way, and her husband carved the hippies, and he engaged another hippie in building the rock park, and they had a very beautiful rock yatra festival, where many thousands of people attended. He introduced to us the word prasadam, taught us how to make prasadam, and in that first Ratiyatra festival, they distributed prasadam to 10,000 people. So Srila Prabhupada created festivals all over the world in all the major and minor cities. Srila Gurudev has often explained Srila Prabhupada's mantra, Mira Shesha Sundarvati Pashtya Deshaparani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaudavani Pucharani. That he has spoken about many times. And sometimes he explains the second part of that mantra, Mira Shesha Sundarvati Pashtya Deshaparani. Although we didn't ever hear of the word Mayavadi, we didn't know what a Maya body or a Sunya body was, or a Nirvishesh body. At the same time, we all thought we were God, and we all thought that God was zero. So Srila Prabhupada, by his teachings, by his books, he not only introduced the terms, but then he defeated them and turned them into personhood. Even before his book came out, when he was giving lectures, at his first temple at 26 Second Avenue in New York City, when most of the devotees who still had their long beards and hippie clothing and hippie habits, as they were hearing Srila Prabhupada's morning Chaitanya Charitamrita class, they had big gray blankets over their heads, like tents, and they were under the tents. And still Srila Prabhupada was giving a very beautiful teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Srila Sanatana Goswami, where he explained the opulence of Krishna and the sweetness of Krishna. How Krishna takes birth in one universe, and the next second he takes birth in the second universe, which is the second second of the first universe, and the third second he takes birth in the third universe, which is the third second in the first universe, and the second second in the second universe. And this way, for 125 years, Krishna is taking birth in so many universes. We learned from Srila Gurudev that our Srila Prabhupada is actually traveling with Krishna and all of his other associates through the various universes, and he's also traveling with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the various universes. So even before Srila Prabhupada's books began to come out, when he was speaking to us hippies at 26 Second Avenue, he would give very beautiful examples to defeat the Mayavadi philosophy. For example, he would say, the Mayavadis give an example that when water is filling up in a jug, it makes a sound, and then when the water is filled up, then it becomes silent. So the Mayavadis say there's so many things to talk about until you become fully self-realized, and then you become silent. So Prabhupada's response was, if you want to give an analogy, you have to give many similar points. Am I a water jug? The living entity is an animate person. The rock is also silent. So what is the benefit? It doesn't mean that it's self-realized. He said, if you ask the Mayavadi, why are you suffering? You say that you're God, but I see that you're suffering like the hog and the dog. And they reply, oh, that is my ego. So Prabhupada would say, you may be that God that has that kind of ego, but we worship that God that's om purna madaha purna idam. So Prabhupada printed, published, translated, purported, Sri Isopanishad, and distributed millions, each printing 150,000, 300,000, millions distributed in 50 languages all over the world, where Prabhupada is completely defeating the Mayavadi philosophy as the mouthpiece of Srila Vyasadeva. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purna Purnamujachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. The Mayavadi say that absolute truth is now non-existent because he's become everything. We are also God, so we forgot that. And when we become self-realized, we become that God again. But now that God is not existing as God, but he's just everything. So Prabhupada is now teaching Srila Vyasadeva to think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is perfectly complete. Because he's completely perfect, so many units emanate from him, like this cosmic manifestation, which are completely equipped as a complete whole. Although so many complete units emanate from him, he's so complete that he remains a complete balance. And Prabhupada told us, you may take a piece of paper, rip it up and distribute it everywhere. The whole paper is gone. But the Supreme Absolute Truth is so complete that it remains the complete balance. 1 + 1 = 1, 1 - 1 = 1. Then a few verses later, that absolute truth, although located in one place in its own planet, it can overcome all other dreading. He surpasses all in excellence, and he controls those who supply the peace and the rain. Then in Prabhupada's beautiful Chaitanya Charitamrita, he also manifested his being near Vishesha Shunyavani, plus Chaitanya Shatarne. He gave us the beautiful Chaitanya Charitamrita with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's liberation of Sri Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And there, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he said that the Absolute Truth is impersonal. Even though all the Vedic mantras confirm that the Absolute Truth is a person, all the Mayavadis like you don't take the direct meaning. They take an indirect meaning and thus concoct that it's impersonal. Then Jay Prabhupada quotes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying so many Shastric slogans like Vishnu Bhakt, Vishnu Shakti Param Rota, explaining that the Supreme Lord has three powers, unlimited powers, but Brahmani just three. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, you're saying that that Supreme Lord with all those unlimited powers has no powers? You're saying that Bhagavan, who has six occupants, is impersonal and void with no occupants and no power? And thus, through the mouth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through his own mouth, and through the mouth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prabhupada was the mouthpiece of Vishnudas Thakurai Goswami for millions of Westerners and Easterners and even Indians who were not fortunate to come in contact with the mission of Srila Gurudev and his Guru Maharaj. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada also, near Vishesha Shunyavani, Vashchitya Vishitarne, in Kapila Dev's teaching, Prabhupada translated by his cosmic mercy, using who? Using Hippie, who he made happy, translating Kapila Dev's teaching to his mother, explaining Nirvana. Everybody in the Western world thought of Nirvana as the Shunyavad, the zero-ness of the Buddhists. But Srila Prabhupada translates the Kapila Dev that Nirvana means when the mind becomes free from all material contamination and it becomes merged in the oneness of the Lord, just like a flame. So Prabhupada explains in the prayer board, introducing all of us hippies, atheists, drug addicts, drunkards, with the Acharya's commentary to the Bhagavad Gita of Sri Sridhar Swami, of the Vaishnava Tosini by Jiva Goswami, of Saraja Darshini by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and quoting them and giving us the seed of our relationship with them, he explains that when a flame goes out, it's not lost, it's conserved, conservation of energy. So when the mind becomes free from all material contamination, it becomes conserved in the service of the Lord, and becomes one. How? One with the Lord's desire. No more independence, but fully surrendered to the Lord's desire. So I'll sum up now and say that Srila Gurudev explained that although Srila Prabhupada was established so many temples, gurukulas, so much prasadam, so many books. His real identity is not that he is the founder, acharya of Islam. His real identity is that he is in the line of Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Rupa Maitri to give us Gauravani Vicharane. I asked one last point. In 1993, I asked Srila Gurudev that because of my offenses to our Srila Prabhupada, I feel that there's a great wall between us and I can't approach him. And I have a perception of him that he's so high and so far away. I'm completely lost from his touch. So how can I see him in a new and more intimate way? Gurudev, I haven't committed so many offenses to you yet. That was in 1993. Now I've committed many offenses. So I feel more close to you. How can I see Prabhupada in that intimate way? So he said, here's the definition of Prabhupada. Prabhu means the Supreme Lord. But the Supreme Lord is divided into two. Krishna and Radha. And Radha is the greater part, the sweeter part. So Prabhupada means one who's at the lotus feet of Prabhu, leaning towards Srimati Radhika. And what is Jaya Prabhupada? Not all glory to you out there, the great soul who has nothing to do with me, all victory to you. But Srila Gurudev kindly explained the meaning of Jaya. Jai means victory, and when there's victory, there's defeat. Who should be defeated? My mind, my senses, my material intelligence, my lust, anger, and greed. So when I pray Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Gurudev, Srila Bhakti Pradhan Keshav Goswami Maharaj Jai, that means, please conquer. I beg you to please conquer over my mind, my senses, my lust, greed, and anger, and make everything, make them all yours. Just like when one country conquers over another, it makes it fully theirs. God bless you, and see you many, many more. Thank you. I'd like to offer my respectful graciousness and lifting tax to my heart, to my Dixie Guru, to the Bhakti the Reference Father Prabhupada, my dear friend. And second of all, I'd like to offer my heartfelt graciousness to my Dixie Guru, to the Bhakti the Reference Narayan Maharaj, my good brother. I'd like to glorify Srila Prabhupada for my own purification. His glories are unlimited, and so I can teach him so much myself. I can't even touch the glories of Srila Prabhupada. But I'd like to try, because he will purify my heart, and actually there's nothing sweeter for my tongue than to sing the glories of Srila Prabhupada. And today is the day that Krishna gives gifts. He gives many, many gifts today. So in this form, have Bhakti Nandan Gaur Bhakti? We couldn't think of anything more precious to give than Sri Guru. As Gurudev says, Krishna Kripa Ki Ananda Bhakti. Venus Nana, Karuna Nina, Patita Pavan, Krishna Kripa Ki Ananda Murti, Sri Guru Dev, Patita Pavan, Krishna Kripa Ki, Krishna Kripa Ki, condensed blissful personification of Krishna Kripa. And how is that? Which Kripa is this? Your name also joined the deity of Sadhan Bhakti, Bhav Bhakti, and Prem Bhakti. Which Prem Bhakti does Srimad Prabhupada give? He gives Braj Bhakti. And which kind of good bhakti can Prabhupada give? He can give the highest bhakti, the highest praying bhakti, Madhurya Raj, Radha Das says. He kept it very hidden. And he stated, he kept it very hidden, but he had the power to do it. One time, Srila Prabhupada in Russia, he said, he was asked, why did Prabhupada not give Raj bhakti? And Gurudev said it's because no one wanted it at that time. But he has the power to give. So Srila Prabhupada, why can he give? But who is Srila Prabhupada? Srila Prabhupada boldly declares that he's Rupa Nuga, that the whole, that he's come in the line of Rupa Goswami. So who is Srila Rupa Goswami? Rupa Goswami is none other than Srila Dhananjaya. So Srila Prabhupada also is following in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami. He's also a minister of Rupa Bhakti Radhika. So he naturally, self-manifested in his heart, he has this Madhurya Raj that the same as Srimita has. And he can give this to anyone who wants it. So there is no more precious gift than this that Sri Krishna can send on this day. So he sent Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, what did he do? Nityananda, as we know, he broke open the dam of praying that had been given, that had been dammed up. And it was time that was dammed. It was time that was damming up the praying. And Nityananda broke through because this was the time, the praying of love of God that Mahaprabhu had brought. And he spread it all over. He went door to door. He went singing, dancing. He was distributing Krishna praying door to door. But there was still another barrier, another dam. What was that? That was the boundaries of India. It was still contained within the boundaries of India. So Krishna sent Srila Prabhupada. He took the instructions of his guru. The guru's bhakti was the beginning, middle, and end of bhakti. He took the order of his guru on his head, and he set out by himself to break the dam and take the Krishna praying all over the world. And he made a platform. And on this platform, he sang, he danced, he gave Mahaprasada, he spread this Krishna praying all over the world. He took it to every town and village. He picked this up out of the gutters of America, the gutters of Africa, even some of the gutters of India. You know, and he said, okay, there's no material barrier in bhakti. We just chant Hare Krishna, we follow the instructions of Rupa Goswami, and you too can go back home, back to Godhead. And he said, what is our home? Our home is Vrindavan. My home is Vrindavan, your home is Vrindavan. You should make your heart Vrindavan. And he also said, everyone is welcome to come to Vrindavan. I encourage everyone to come. And anyone who can stay here permanently and become Vrindavan, that is very inspiring. They should do. So Vrindavan doesn't mean just someone who lives on the net of Maya of Vishyaman Vrindavan. It means the mood of a Vrindavan. And Rupa Goswami can do that. And Prabhupada in the mind of Rupa Goswami, he was making the platform so we could all start to go up, up, up. So eventually we could go back home, back to Godhead. And on this platform, what did he do? He danced. He brought Lord Jagannath out of Puri. And he took Lord Jagannath and he danced himself down the streets of London, down the streets of New York, down the streets of San Francisco, just animating this grand bhakti rasa. This is what Prabhupada did. But he had very little time. His time was short. But he had made a platform. So what did he do? He begged his friend, Srila Gurudev, to come on that platform. And on that platform, now Srila Gurudev is also singing the dancing. And he's like going the Vrindavan. He's doing like this. And what is he saying to Chaitanya Bhagavat? That personalities of this caliber, their mere existence in the world, vanquishes all inauspiciousness. They're dancing, purifies the earth. Their glances purify all directions, and their upraised arms purify even the heavenly planet. So Prabhupada and Gurudev, they're dancing and purifying and vanquishing all pray at the lotus feet of Prabhupada that I can just become one day qualified to assist him in his service to Satchinanda Gaurahari and his service to Radha Krishna Kandigo. Please make me qualified. Please make me qualified. Hare Krishna. There is a verse of the David. Yasya deve parabhakti prakasha te mahatmanaha. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in the Lord and the spiritual master are the Vedic, are the knowledge of the Vedas revealed. I was thinking about this in relation to the work I'm doing in Srimad-Bhagavatamrita by the mercy of Srila Narayana Maharaj. He's giving me so much insight into how to search in the Prabhupada. And so in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Gopal Kumar, in the second volume, Gopal Kumar is going from different planet to planet. He goes to Swarga, and in Swarga he's serving Lord Vamandev very, very sweetly. He's serving him just like Indra does, where Indra, Lord Vamandev, is his younger brother. Then he goes to Maharlok and he serves Yageshwar. And in each place, he's overcome with love for these different forms of the Lord. In Satyaloka, he swoons when he sees Mahavishnu, and Lakshmi Devi herself talks with him. And so, but I asked at one point, I said, so Gopi Kumar is going to these different places, and he's actually serving the Lord. He's serving Vamadev. He's serving Yageshwar. He's seeing Mahavishnu. But it explains that when he comes back to this earth planet and meets his guru in the beginning of the fourth chapter, then by the mercy of his guru, he develops prema. And he goes to Vaikuntha. And then from Vaikuntha, he begins another journey. But my question was, how is it that he was serving his guru? I mean, he was serving the Lord. But he didn't develop prema. And so he explained that there is Ashraya Vigraha and Vishaya Vigraha, the object of worship and the worshiper. And you get prema. You're able to obtain it. And so the Kumar, even though he was serving the Lord, he may be serving the deity.
and he had to maintain that.
And so then, but although Lakshmi was able to give it, Lord Shiva was able to give it, he was actually meant to receive it from his guru Vrindavan, and he was actually meant to attain Braj Bhakti. So by the grace of his guru when he returned, then he attained prema. Now, this is beyond here. It is by the grace of the, it says Yasgadi Vini Padavasis, Yadadi Vini Padavasis. So it's like, by the, we cannot serve the Lord without the grace of the spiritual master. Only by the grace of the spiritual master can our love for the Lord begin. And so this is the, because the spiritual master is the incarnation of Krishna's mercy. And we're seeing this, I can see it so much with Srila Prabhupada in my mind. Just like Srila Bhaktivedanta again, Kesha Maharaj was praying that when Krishna appeared, he's Rahasraj. Krishna, the Lord of all Rahasraj, he was experiencing, when he was demonstrating his leelas for the benefit of all conditioned souls. But I wasn't here. When Lord Chaitanya appeared, Lord Chaitanya liberated the whole universe. But I wasn't here. I somehow missed it. And only by the grace of my spiritual master was I able to understand the glories of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and was only able to serve to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's only by the grace of our Guru was even greater trust in Krishna, even greater than Mahaprabhu. He is their mercy incarnation. And so this is, I was reminded of this just a couple days ago. A friend of mine wrote reminding me of when Prabhupada was in Iran. I remember this time. It was evening. And we were sitting, Prabhupada was sitting on the balcony. It was very beautiful. Iran at that time in Tehran, it was the summer, it was Lord Balaram's appearance day time, so it was this time. And Prabhupada said it was so beautiful, it was like blue Swarga. And so there was namaz we were not far from a masjid, so there was namaz playing. And Prabhupada said, "What is this?" And so Acharya Rishi was explaining that they're saying names of God. They're calling people to worship the Lord for saying the names of God, that they love the Father, something like that. And so Srila Prabhupada said that they should encourage the people in Iran to chant the names of Allah. And so Acharya thought, he said, isn't the name of Krishna more powerful than the name of Allah? And Prabhupada looked at him and he said, "Are you asking me to be sectarian?" And he said that actually, when Lord Chaitanya came, he said there is no discrimination in the names of the Lord. That people should be encouraged to chant the name, whatever names of the Lord they know. And I was thinking of this, how merciful Srila Prabhupada was in distributing Braj Bhakti, that even in this Muslim country, he was encouraging people, you know, to become purified in their own ways. And they'll now gradually come to the platform. And hopefully they'll be able to meet a bona fide spiritual master and then make advancement. Because it is only by the grace of the spiritual master that one makes advancement. But Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada was engaging us in the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I was thinking, how is it that Srila Prabhupada was chosen by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to bring his message to the Western world, to fulfill the prophecy in Sri Ashika, to Nataraj Rao, that his message will be preached in every town and village. So how is it that Srila Prabhupada
was chosen, project that has many showers closed. And so just like Srila Rupa Goswami tells us that Rupa Goswami was chosen. Lord Chaitanya has so many wonderful devotees. But Srila Rupa Goswami understood the Manavishya of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore he was able to establish his mission in this world. Sri Chaitanya Manavishya. And so it was the same way Srila Prabhupada, he understood the Manavishya of his Guru Maharaj, which is not different than Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and all the way up to Srila Rupa Goswami and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Srila Prabhupada understood this Manavishya, then he was able to establish the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. And what is this Manavishya of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Lord Rupa Goswami explains this in the verse of Narayana, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, now in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we know that this is the fourth verse. Anyway, it's explained that this is the external reason. This is one of the external reasons. Radha Krishna Pranayama, that one is the internal reason. So why is this external? Because Maharaj explained that this is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give. And what is it? It's Onatrochakarastam Swami Krishna, as he explained so beautifully the other day. It is the Shobha. The Shriya, the Shobha. This is the Mantra. This is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give. And so Srila Prabhupada understood this. This is also what he has come to give. In the very first page of Chaitanya Charitamrita, it begins with the Radha Bhagavan invitation. Sattama Vrindavana. This is one of Srila Prabhupada's favorite verses, in which he explains, in which Lord Chaitanya is explaining what is the topmost type of worship, that worship of the Vrajabhattu. And so Srila Prabhupada is keeping us in this line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's engaging us in the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's engaging us in the preaching of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what is the result? Serve the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we serve him with love. To that degree, to the same degree, the lotus feet of Srimati Radhika will appear in our hearts. So this is the mercy of the Guru.
But I was I wanted to remember what it was like, what the atmosphere was like, what the temples were like when Srila Prabhupada was here on the planet. And what I was remembering was there was so much, it was such a wonderful atmosphere. The temples were so sweet, and the temples were so enlivened. The devotees were all so enlivened, and the devotees worked hard like anything. Somehow they never hardly saw Srila Prabhupada. They would do things that were unimaginable for young devotees who had just come off the streets of America or anywhere else in the world. I wanted to tell one short incident. I did have the opportunity of associating with Srila Prabhupada for 3 months in Los Angeles in 1972, and he gave Srimad Bhagavatam class every morning, and he was speaking on the prayers of Queen Kunti. I remember that. That was very wonderful. And after the class, there was always a kirtan, and Prabhupada wouldn't lead the kirtan, but somebody else, one of his servants, would lead the kirtan, and Prabhupada would play the gong. And those kirtans were so sublime and so heavenly and so ecstatic. And Srila Prabhupada wasn't even leading. He was just sitting there playing the gong, and one of his disciples was singing. And I remember one time, they were making a, every night Prabhupada would go into his garden during Bhagavad Gita class, during Gaura Arti and Bhagavad Gita class. So they made arrangements that he took a different, I was living in the Los Angeles community, and there were a lot of devotees there. And so they were making arrangements that each devotee would get a turn to go into the garden while Srila Prabhupada was there. So I got my turn. And I remember I walked in, and Prabhupada was already there, and they were reading to him from Krishna book. And when I walked in, I felt like I just walked into this atmosphere of, I felt like I walked into a wall of purity. And I felt like the first thought that came into my mind was, if I even open my mouth in this garden, I'm going to ruin everything. I'm going to ruin the whole atmosphere. It was so incredible. One other funny incident that happened. There was the airport greetings. When Srila Prabhupada would come into the airport, hundreds of devotees would come. I had experience in Los Angeles. And Prabhupada would always be the last person that got off the plane. So we'd be chanting and chanting and chanting, and everybody that was getting off the plane was thinking, oh, maybe they're glorifying me. You got that feeling, you know, when people would see all the devotees chanting. And then finally Srila Prabhupada would come. But it was such an ecstatic experience. I've never experienced anything like it before in my life, the kirtan stuff that we had in the presence of Srila Prabhupada. And even without the personal presence. In San Francisco, we used to go every night to, in the evening, after an evening program, we would go out chanting again, after chanting all day on the street. And there was one movie called Air, and they chant Hare Krishna movie in it. And we would blitz it. We would go there for about 15 minutes, right when everybody was coming out. And it was like, as soon as everybody started coming out, the kirtan would start, the incense would lit up, and it was like instant ecstasy. We were all in so much ecstasy, and we were all brand new devotees, maybe less than 1 year, all of us, practically. And we were experiencing ecstasy beyond our imagination. And that was all been the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, because on our own we weren't anywhere near qualified. But also I wanted to say that sometimes it's said that Srila Prabhupada didn't teach us the highest thing. And in his lectures, he gave us a very strong foundation in Krishna consciousness. But if you read his books, especially Chaitanya Charitamrita, Upadesha Amrita, you'll find very, very, very high things. And there's one other thing I wanted to say, which I'm not going to say fully because Srila Gurudev will get very angry with me. But we do have a possibility of understanding Srila Prabhupada's Swarup. And if anybody has any trust in Gaur Govinda Maharaj, I could tell you later. And we could verify it with Gurudev. But it's on tape, and it's something that Gaur Govinda Maharaj spoke in Gambira during Ravayatra time one year. And that really revealed his Mandari Swarup to Gaur Govinda Maharaj. I guess that's all. I'm not a good speaker.
Here, even Srila Prabhupada is telling me that It's very difficult for you to understand all this, to change your ways. But by his mercy and by helping me out, I was able to understand somewhat. And he was able to put something into my heart. And then I thought I was a very clever person. So when I met Gurudev for the first time, actually I met him in 86 over here. Other devotees. But then when I actually met him in Houston, and I thought I was clever, I came up to him and I said, "Oh, please give me Sudaba, the pure name." And he looked at me and he knew I was a Prabhupada disciple, and he says, "Oh," he looked with those eyes, "you just want to get down." He says, "You already have it." And I said, "Oh, I said the wrong thing." So I've already been given this, but I can't feel it. I have no way to feel it. It's already in my heart. It's so difficult for me to actually feel it. So Srila Prabhupada, knowing my insensitivity, has also sent Gurudev to wake me up and make me understand what is already in my heart. What this name, but it's a special name. It's not just Hare Krishna mantra, but it's this name that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also brought, and already been explained by Manjari Devi, of what he's actually trying to give us. He's put in this Hare Krishna mantra what he wants to give us, and we don't even know it's there. So we need someone else. Oh, please clear my mind, clear my senses, so that it can manifest someday within my heart also. So on this day, the appearance day of my Diksha Guru, Srila Prabhupada, and also taking refuge and my Shiksha Guru, Srila Bhakti Narayan Maharaj, I thank you very much for letting me speak.
Actually, you see, Samarani, Bhakti Shore, Pajanamaraj, all these devotees were at that time in Brooklyn. And then, through the friends of all these different devotees, I came to actually be introduced to Prabhupada. When I first joined the temple, what happened was, in the early morning, we used to get up. They used to be like the races. Who would be the first to be in the temple to see the deity, you know, for the temple. So that morning, when we heard Sri Prabhupada was coming, I got up at 1 o'clock in the morning and I raced down the temple, and we were standing outside waiting like that. And then they opened the doors and they came up and stood by the altar like that. When you stood at the altar, everybody was waiting for Prabhupada to come in. When Prabhupada finally came to New York, to Brooklyn at that time, came to Brooklyn, he opened the door, and when Prabhupada came in, there was this explosion. Very powerful explosion for Prabhupada. And I was always amazed by that explosion, that light. Everybody was so amazed by it. Even there was one policeman in New York at the time, Brooklyn, saw Prabhupada walking the street, and he said, "Oh, who is that man?" And he said, "Why?" He said, "Because he's glowing like a light, you know." So I was always amazed by that, Prabhupada had told him. That was the first time I ever saw Prabhupada. He came in like a huge effulgence, and then he walked up to the front of the altar, and I was standing in front of the altar, and then Prabhupada was getting into the basement, and then I noticed Prabhupada only came up to hear about me. Amazing. It was amazing that he was such about 5 foot one, something like 5 foot two. Anyway, then after that, Prabhupada, when he sat down on the vyasas, I mean, he had this booming, lying, hurt voice. I didn't know how powerful it was. That was the first time I ever saw Prabhupada. And then from that, I started to get my service to Prabhupada. But understand, Prabhupada, I never really started to understand.